sales win rates have plummeted to a mere 17%, and outdated technology and tedious manual processes are to blame. Meanwhile, managers lack the visibility they need to hold their teams accountable. But imagine a world in which these crippling issues are solved automatically. Revenue.io automates the most frustrating parts of sales so reps can focus on what they do best, selling. Completely automate pre-call research, logging conversation data in your CRM, writing post-conversation recap emails, and prioritized outreach. And as reps book more meetings and close more deals, managers gain the real-time insight they need to scale what's working across their entire team. Ready to say goodbye to tedious sales processes and watch your win rate soar? Head over to revenue.io to learn more.
But how do you do that when you got to make 50 calls today or send out 50 emails? Or how are you finding SDRs balancing the time to be able to do that personalization?
It's a change in thought process, because is the goal really 50 calls, or is the goal five real interactions or five touches or appointment set?
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Sales Enablement Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Paul. Now, that was Stephen Passanelli. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at BombBomb. Now, due to the COVID-19 crisis, everyone, sellers and buyers alike, and actually including your grandparents, are getting more and more comfortable with video. And today, Stephen's joining me on the show, episode 760, to talk about how to use video messaging, how sellers can enable themselves to effectively create more personalized connections with their buyers. So in today's show, Stephen's going to share his best practices for using video messaging in outbound prospecting, and he'll also provide his proven five-step recipe for creating an effective video message. Now, this recipe goes by the acronym TUNED, T-U-N-E-D, and you're going to have to stay tuned to this podcast to learn exactly what those steps are. But before we get to Steve, I'll let you know that all of us who work to produce this podcast are incredibly grateful for all of you who support us by listening to the show, telling your friends, sharing it on social media, and most importantly, subscribing to the show and giving us your feedback in the form of a rating and review. So thank you very much for that. All right, let's jump into it. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well as could be considered. We're recording this in sort of the height of the work from home trend in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, I guess.
Yeah, it could be the beginning. It could be the end of work from home, depending on how fast this goes. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I guess it raises an interesting question, which is, do you think this, because a lot of people are sort of writing about, well, this portends the beginning of a trend of more people working from home on a more permanent basis. Mm-hmm. And we've sort of fluctuated in that in the United States. I mean, there was certainly a lot of talk about telecommuting, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it sort of subsided. You know, when Marissa Meyer was at Yahoo, she talked about bringing everybody back in, certain benefits of having people together in terms of, you're a small company, in terms of building company culture and so on. But where do you see it going?
Yeah, I think, so I've worked from home for over 20 years. Every job I had since I graduated college was work from home. So I've seen an evolution of work from home.
So are you antisocial, or do people deem you a disruptive influence in the office, or what's the story?
Perhaps. Yeah, or it's dumb luck, or I just am secretly, you know, I secretly gravitate. You know, most of the time I would, you know, most jobs I had in the past, that I would travel the country and sure. Speak. And then so the time that you know, the times that you weren't speaking, you were at home. And so it was so much harder 15 years ago than it is today to truly know the members of your team. It is much easier today, but you need to have discipline around your work from home process. You need to have a separate space, which a lot of people that are thrusted into this work from home paradigm right now, they don't have a space carved out. They don't have, I mean, the interruptions, because all the kids are home too.
So. Well, yeah, but you see it all over LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, people sort of taking pictures of their work from home space that you know, a chair at a dining room table, for instance, is the most common one.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have this this amazing 8x8 foot office in my garage that I built with my father-in-law to separate, you know, to be separated from the madness that goes on inside the house. And it is a key component. And then, of course, with technologies, you know, like Zoom, we're using Zoom right now, but Zoom for meetings. And we had 150 people on an all hands meeting at BombBomb, all on Zoom at the same time. It was like four or five screens of like squares.
Right, right. Yeah, we had something similar this week, about 90 people on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it worked, and it was great. And I got to see everybody, and I feel like I'm connected with them more often. And then, you know, face-to-face meetings, Zoom is great. And then when you're not, what about the other 99.5% of the time that you're not in a face-to-face synchronous meeting, what do you do? And then that's where video messaging comes in as another, you know, element or tool in your tool bag for human connection.
Which is at a premium right now. I mean, yeah, you know, it's sort of funny. It's almost like the opposite of human connection now, because I'm in, as I said, New York City, I hadn't left my apartment for 2 days and went outside for a walk. And I was actually on the phone with my wife. I was talking about this because she's the only person in her office today, which is the reason she went into her office. But I said, you know, instinctively now, when somebody walks by me on the sidewalk, I turn my back on them. And that's like, it's so unlike me. Because, I'm pretty social, but this is like, just don't get on me. Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. The change of behaviors we're going to see. I noticed it immediately in myself.
Yeah. And I think there's an interesting dynamic. As long as you're far enough away from people, people are recognizing one another from a farther distance, but there's a kindness that's also happening, just as long as you don't get too close, right? Like as soon as you break that barrier, that kindness changes real fast. But there's like, hey, you're out and about. Like my neighborhood was just full of people walking, and it's not usually like that.
Oh, well, Manhattan is empty. I mean, it's I'm in close to the UN on the east side, and we're in kind of a quiet neighborhood with no through streets, so we're tend to be a little quieter anyway. But when I look over a railing to the other streets and the rest of the neighborhood, it's like
empty.
Yeah, there's just no one there.
I'm in a suburban neighborhood, so we have plenty of like space to still be apart from one another while walking.
Yeah, you can go outside and play and do it. Yeah, yeah, we're a little more intimate here. So, last Saturday, my wife and I had been in California for a few weeks and flew back on Friday, and Saturday morning we had literally no groceries in the house because we weren't anticipating this when we had left. And so we go to Trader Joe's first thing, and half hour before it opens, you know, line stretching two blocks long, practically people waiting to get in. So yeah, we need people to relax and calm down. But anyway, enough about that. Let's talk business, because this is what people are tuning in for. So for people who aren't familiar with BombBomb, just on the off chance, why don't you tell people what BombBomb does?
Yeah, BombBomb at its core is a video messaging platform that allows you to be face-to-face with someone when you can't be face-to-face in real life. It's asynchronous, so it's a bit different than something like a Zoom. You know, as we mentioned before, Zoom, you have to set that meeting and get people there at the same time and get the agreeance that you want to be there and then show up at the same time, and which is great because synchronous meetings can be very productive, and that's what you're driving for. But in all the other instances and all the other spaces of communicating with colleagues, communicating with fellow sales reps, communicating with prospects, with past clients, with, you know, with leads, everyone, video messaging can be a great way to break down the barriers and show people who you are. People do business. Someone in one of your recent episodes, Andy, said, the bedrock of sales is still people to people selling.
That's probably me.
and so that's not, I knew it sounded smart now. But it's true. So how do you get people to people selling? Black text on the white screen isn't people to people selling. Sending someone text-based email messages isn't people-to-people selling. When someone can see you and hear you and feel your passion and see the emotion on your face and know that you have the belief in your product, it's a different story. So we help you get face-to-face with people that matter the most through simple video messages.
Yeah, I think the thing that I really like about it, and we'll talk about the usage of it later, because I've used it, and first of all, people just respond to it. I mean, first of all, they get opened, and then, as you said, you have that opportunity to form that connection. It's like you're preempting some of the decisions somebody might have to make about you just by trying to infer what they're seeing in an email, right? It's like, you know, is this person are they smart? Are they credible? Are they a good person? You know, what can I learn about this person just based on this email? As opposed to when you open up a video message, it's like, oh, well, there's Steve. What can I infer about Steve or intuit about Steve based on this video?
Yeah, and that inference part is so important because people make a decision on who you are. People don't believe the message until they believe the messenger. And if they don't know who the messenger is, the message is then ineffective. But rewinding back to what you said, people just respond to it. And I want to make sure this is clear for the audience. I started using video, just a bit of a backstory before we get to people just respond to it. I led a sales team. We had eight people. We traveled the country. We sold products face-to-face, and then we were trying to figure out how to sell products after the live events as well. And that's when I stumbled upon video in 2011. So that was the first time I started using video messaging for the purpose of selling a product for better communication. And I made so many mistakes and guessed wrong about so many different things that we can walk through.
Sure.
But one of the things that I made a mistake with is I thought that people were responding to video. And in that day, in 2011, some of it was, because it was a novelty. Video was the novelty. But I quickly began to realize that it's not the video. They are not responding to the video. The video actually has very little to do with how they're responding. It comes down to the messenger and the person that's delivering it. They're not responding to video. People are like, oh, well, someone else uses video. There goes the advantage. Well, just like on a phone.
Sure.
You know, the phone can be an advantage. Everyone has the same advantage of using the phone, but it comes down to the salesperson on the phone if it's really effective. And now people are realizing that more, that the messages, you can't just send a video and hope that it works. If you have a bad message in text, it's going to be a bad message in video.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's it. So yeah, they're not responding to video. They're responding to you. They're responding to you as a person.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you go through your, and I was doing this as a test because I knew this point was going to come up before we spoke, and go through my inbox and so on. I think in the last, I don't know, over the last month, I think I've received 4 maybe video messages out of thousands of emails. I mean, to me, it's still like so much fertile ground to be plowed with this.
It's still a novelty to an extent. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the penetration's comparatively low, which I think still, as to your point earlier, if you do have an effective message, you're going to stand out even more than you will. At some point, yeah, everybody's going to be doing it more routinely. I always hold some people back because people don't like being on camera, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I mean, again, when I was sending them more consistently than I have been recently, but more when I was doing more active prospecting, the response rate was incredible. I mean, people that they oftentimes wouldn't video message back, even though they had the link there to click to record something.
Because they're afraid, just like...
Because they were afraid, but you at least get something back on a pretty high percentage.
So getting something back, remind me to chat about that, because I've been doing something called the Gratitude Project through video. And I think salespeople that have a high ACV deal, I think this is a slam dunk approach to building relationships.
But, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. What is the Gratitude Project?
Okay. Well, so I was going to say some people don't like to be on camera. Let me just address that.
Okay, finish that point. Sure.
This is a quick one. The other one's longer. But that some people just don't like to be on camera is a true statement. And once you get past that, the video isn't for you. The reason why you're sending a video to someone else is to explain something more articulately, to show them something through a screen recorder. The video just doesn't have to be you. You can live demo or show someone something to have them feel the emotion. And this is the segue to the gratitude project. Mm-hmm. To have them feel the emotion of true gratitude or a thanks, and sales being a transfer of emotion, right? That's all sales is a transfer of emotion. Video allows that to happen. And so when you stop thinking about who this video is for, when you record that video and you're nervous, video is not for you. When you watch that video back and you don't like the way that you looked or sound, the video is not for you. It's for the recipient. And if you think about it that way, that also makes you think about the message that you're using to that recipient, right? Is mm-hmm. the message valuable to the person that I'm sending it to? You know, if this video isn't for me, is the message valuable? And am I delivering it in a better way? Does video work for this instance? And if you could say, yes, the message is valuable, and yes, video is a better format, better medium to communicate it in, then you have the right message to send out in video that will be more effective and will do a better job for you.
Yeah. Just to clarify, when you were saying the video isn't for me is just so people are listening. It's not that you're not meant for video. It's just that video isn't intended. That specific Correct. Video isn't intended for you. You may still be made for video. It's just,
yes. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. Yes. So the gratitude.
Do you wanna... Well, I mean, I think let's sort of deconstruct what you just talked about. Is you are going to be nervous when you first start doing this. Anybody that hasn't done video messaging before, and so what are sort of the keys to sort of building up the comfort level, sort of doing this in a flow, like you would send an email in a flow. I mean, mm-hmm. most not everybody's like me, where I tend to edit emails. My wife, if she's sitting next to me on the couch, I'm trying to create an email. She's like, oh, just send it already. But when I do videos, yeah, you can't do that. You know, hey, you don't have time. But yeah, you're seeking a perfection, which again, it's, you have to look at it through the eyes of the person receiving it.
Yeah. Yeah. So your imperfection is your perfection. That's what will connect you to the person that's receiving it. But I love that you use the word flow. Because if people are really trying to, if you're trying to get into a habit and you make a promise to yourself, you know what? I know that I am better face to face. I know if people see me and they hear me, that I will be a more effective salesperson. If you could say yes to those things, then you're going to make a serious effort on trying, air mm-hmm. quotes, you know, trying out video and say, okay, I'll use video for the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever and see how it works. But that flow, the word that you use, flow, is so important, because that first one's going to be tough. The second one's going to be tough. And if you record one or two and then you stop for a day or two and then you start over and you record one or two, you never quite get that flow. So if you do time block it and chunk it out, you'll notice after you record like two or three in a row that to record the fourth, fifth, and sixth all in that same sitting, like mm-hmm. you're boom, 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 boom. And you do get into that flow state of mind and you stop worrying about the other things and you don't watch them back because you want to get 10 videos out in 20 minutes. And that's, you want to send 10, 30 second videos. And you can do that if you get in that flow. And that's what salespeople that are really using video well, that's what they're doing, is they're chunking it and they're time blocking that out.
But a critical thing you brought up is they don't watch it back.
Yes. Yes. As long as the name is correct, everything else is okay. Your ums, your ahs, the child that runs through the shot in the background because Absolutely. You're working from home is only going to endear you to the recipient. And I don't know if I mentioned this the last time I was on a couple of years ago. Hopefully I didn't. it might have happened after, actually, I think. So my favorite story is of my wife, who was sending, she wouldn't use video, couldn't get her to use it. She Right. finally broke her down, convinced her to use it. And she was selling skincare, you know, products. Right. And so she had all of her products in her hand. She recorded her first video, dropped all the products in the papers during the video recording, popped out of the frame, and she looked over at me. I was in the kitchen. I was like, you keep going. And she popped back into the frame, bright red face, and kept going. And when she was done, she was like, I'm not sending that video out. And I was like, oh yeah, click. And we sent it.
So you got past that point in your marriage is what you're saying.
So she got a phone call 15 minutes later from Susan, and I know Susan now because now she's a friend of the family. from Susan Mangagian, who watched the video and so connected with Gretchen because of, she called it klutzy, which it was fairly klutzy. She's like, oh my God, I'm so klutzy too. And this was their first phone conversation they ever had. And they talked about stories for 10 minutes on how each one of them was klutzy. And then at the end, she was like, well, I'll just buy all the products. And she did. And it was because that imperfect video, the mistake that happened, dropping the products, showing people your true authenticity is the most important thing to think about when you're sending a video. If you were a bit quirky and you said something silly and you're like, I don't know if the person on the other end is going to relate, send it. That's who you are. Your authenticity will stand out and make that connection for you. And if they don't like you and they didn't like it for whatever reason, even better. The faster you know that you're not supposed to get along with that prospect, the better.
The better. Absolutely. I agree. So two things. One is and just sort of basics. How long should a video be optimally, or how long should it not be, right? Perhaps start there. And sort of how do you, is there structure that you've found through looking, you know, however many millions have been sent through BombBomb that's a little more effective?
Yeah. So video length is really ambiguous. In general, if you want a good rule of thumb, the less of a relationship you have with someone, the shorter the video. So we try to tell people a minute or less. We actually guide people that way, because if you do send it through BombBomb, we give the exact time on the bottom and the seconds. And after you hit a minute, it just says 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Under a minute, it says 37 seconds. That 37 seconds, again, you're asking someone for their time. Mm-hmm. And if the video says 5 minutes and I don't know the sender, I'm not giving someone I don't know 5 minutes of my time.
Absolutely not.
Valuable. Right. So you want to keep that low. But if someone reached out to me, if we had a new lead, and they had a very specific question about an aspect of the program, and I sent them a 4-minute screen recording with my face up on there at the same time where they can see me and see my screen, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because they asked about, hey, I want to see how this program does X, Y, and Z. And then you start off the video and say, hey, this is going to take a couple of minutes for me to describe because we have some really great features, but you asked about X, Y, and Z. And because you asked about that, I also want to show you and walk them through it. And that's going to be okay in that instance. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I find that, so that's sort of a good segue into what I want to talk about next, which was how people are using this in real life, like sales teams and so on. So for, and again, based on your experience with how your customers are using it, are they using it, let's say, at the SDR level more for, proactive, personalized outreach or part of campaigns? You know, we've got a templated video we use and we stick it in a cadence and off it goes. I mean, it seems like more personalization is better, obviously.
Yeah. So some people say, well, how long does that take? Because that takes a lot of time. There's a time and place for both. We do use both. In 2011, when I first started using video, I was like, great. Now I can take our marketing videos, put them into an email and send them out. And it didn't net me anything. It was 2011. So, you know, I wasn't the smartest bulb, not that I am now.
Well, none of us were. Yeah.
So yes, you can put a marketing video in there or something that the team created and drop it into a sequence. If you have an 18-step sequence in whatever program that you enjoy using, Ring DNA.
Mm-hmm. For instance, yeah.
Yep. And so you can drop that in there, but where you're really going to gain ground and gain traction is in that personal touch. If you are taking the time, most BDRs, SDRs are being taught to take the time to look up a little information about the recipient and add that into the text-based email. Well, people know that that can be faked, so it's not as effective anymore. Your key is to disrupt their pattern. It's a pattern disrupt. And if you take a video and you're already spending the minute to look them up on LinkedIn before you reach out to that recipient, because it's part of your tier one ABM, you know, outbounding campaign, add that into your whiteboard.
It's in the playbook, but I don't think very many people do it, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, right. Even if you didn't look them up, write their name on that whiteboard, show them, disrupt that pattern, and let them know that this is a video that was created. This is an email first, but this was a video that was created just for them because their name is handwritten on the whiteboard, and I draw little pictures and designs and all sorts of things.
All right, so people who can't, who are listening to this and can't see you, you're holding up like an 8x11 whiteboard. And just as a small dry erase board, basically, right?
Yep, with a marker that I keep handy right here.
Uh-huh.
And I sent an email, which we could talk about it. Like I sent an email to the CMO of Salesforce. I don't know the CMO of Salesforce. I never met the CMO of Salesforce, mm-hmm. but I did listen to their podcast one day and right. thought it was fantastic. And Drew, she talked about Kodak cameras and Starbucks. So I drew, and I'm not the best drawer, but I drew a Kodak camera and a Starbucks cup and sent it out. And that video got played 9 times, 90% more, 90% or more, mm-hmm. to 100% of that video. So it got played again and again and again and again. And I'm pretty sure that most of the emails that she receives on a daily basis aren't getting that type of traction or interaction. Now, that was part of my gratitude project, but yeah.
So, well, tell us what you said in that. I mean, so yeah, several parts of this is that, so just recap so people understand this is what Steve is saying that you do. And if you ever get an email from Baby at Bomb Bomb, and they do this religiously, is there some, I call it proof of life.
That is, I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down right now.
Proof of life demonstration in the video, and you see it in the thumbnail that plays in the body of your email when you receive it, which said, you know, it could be say, hi, Andy, and have the date on it or something. I mean, for people to understand the proof of life reference, it's, you know, when you kidnap somebody, you want to make sure they're doing a ransom demand, you want to make sure they're alive so they have a photograph of the kidnapped victim holding today's paper or something.
Newspaper.
Right. Yeah. So this is the video email equivalent of it. And yeah, just a simple 8x11 dry erase board you can hold up and put on a Sharpie. And yeah, the ones that I respond to, that I receive, I got a pitch what day is it? So it would have been earlier this week from somebody to come on the show. And yeah, not having seen that, I probably would have gone by it more quickly, may not give it the same attention, but his video message was very strong, to the point. I think it was 47 seconds.
Yeah.
And he's booked to come on the show.
Well, there you go. That's and it's proof of life and proof of personalization.
But how do you do that when you've got, you know, the demand to, you got to send out, you know, make 50 calls today or send out 50 emails or, you know, it's how are you finding SDRs balancing the time to be able to do that personalization? I know you said they forego the LinkedIn lookup, but I'm not sure that I said it's important. I'm not sure they're doing that anyway.
So it's a change in thought process because is the goal really 50 calls or is the goal 5 real interactions or 5 touches or appointments set? And so if you're just hitting a number, and so that's why it's the right time and place. And not every email by a mile. I still send majority of my emails are text-based emails.
Sure.
But a quarter of them are video and it's the right time, the right place, with the right message and using that little framework that we went over before, deciding when to send that personal video message. If you're selling a product that is $5 a month, maybe personal video isn't right for you to sell the product. Maybe in supporting it, if you do have to support it with a real person and you have your CS team, they can quickly send a video to show someone something. That might be where you want to use personal video messaging or for internal communication to each other, you know, so you're sending videos or you're dropping them in Slack or you're dropping a video, you know, in an email or wherever, because video messaging just isn't for email. You can use it in other messaging platforms too.
Right. Yeah. So I'm thinking in the case of you talked about before is, you know, maybe that second one you send is you've got a, you know, 2-minute excerpt from your software demonstration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about it. You're an SDR. Maybe you had a first call, first conversation with somebody that wouldn't really commit to a demo. Perfect time to send a video as the second one. Hey, start with your message, reconnecting, have a short excerpt from, you know, screen capture, as you said, of your software demo, something a key point, you know, they're really interested in, could lead to setting up that demo.
Yes. Yes.
Which you wouldn't be able to do otherwise unless you're using video.
Correct. In a lot of instances. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. What other sort of unique use cases are you finding for, I mean, I love that sort of preview demo one with the screen catchers. I think that that's pretty compelling. What else are you seeing?
So are you talking about times to use it or innovative attention-grabbing techniques?
Let's say innovative attention-grabbing techniques that people could learn from.
Yeah, so we use a tuned methodology for that. Tuned. Are your emails tuned for attention? And so the team aspect for the T, one way to gather attention is to get a couple people in a video. That is something more like a novelty. Most, if you can count the amount of videos that you received in the past month, count the amount of videos that you received with three different people or four different people standing at the camera waiting to talk to you. It stands out. The videos that we've sent, and so my personal team since 2011 on has sent over 75,000 video messages for the sake of building communication and closing more deals. 75,000. And the team messages that we've sent, and this is something I recognized early, work. And you can use the team strategy even if it's not a personal video, because it will generate more awareness for that pre-recorded video that you're going to drop into the sequence and get more plays on that too. If there's four or five or six, I usually show an example of a video that we send at BombBomb. And there's actually another really good one that Conversica sent to us before when we signed up for the second, you know, year in a row. You know, their whole team got on a video and just said, you know, thanks. And so putting a lot of people on there, team is the first part of the tuned methodology. And then you have unexpected, do something unexpected. One video email that we sent out was after a major conference, and Wim Hof was the speaker at that conference. I don't know if you're familiar with Wim Hof.
I know the name, but I...
The Iceman. He's got like all the records for being in cold water, ice baths, like swimming, you know, so...
Okay.
So he did he was the keynote speaker. So everyone learned about Wim Hof and why the cold is good for you and cold showers and cold this and cold that. And so we sent a mass email to everyone that we met at that convention. And it was two of our sales reps team right there.
Right.
And they were standing outside in 6 inches of snow in bathing suits.
I was going to suggest that. Yeah.
So it's unexpected. Like what are these two clowns doing? And
right.
And so that was a pre-recorded video that, and I forget the total amount of people went out to, it was everyone that we met at the show, that had a 53% play rate on a video that wasn't personalized. It was, you know, a video that went out to X amount of people. And so, which is really, really high, like just to get a,
and I imagine shared quite a bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we were like, oh, look at this. And, and they were like, we're outside. We're Wim Hofing it, you know, right now. We hope you guys had a great time at the convention, blah, blah, blah. So
any conversion stats on that?
I don't have it all the way through.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
So, but my favorite one is the name, which we talked about, but to take it a step further than the name on the whiteboard, you know, just writing someone's name on a whiteboard is great, but you want to add some type of, and which brings me to the E as well, emotion to the name, whether you write it on the whiteboard or I received a video of a colleague, and obviously if you're listening to this, you won't be able to see this, but his head was down. He was shaking his head. He looked like he was about to cry. And then he looked up and I just saw the sadness in his eyes. And I'm like, what is this? I have to hit play on this one. And then of course, happy emotions too, not just sad emotions. But that was a video that I received after I had a strange morning of getting, I received like 20 phone calls from people asking me how to do stuff in BombBomb. And I'm like, what is going on? And so that was our email marketing manager. And he was like, I made a huge mistake and put your personal cell phone number on a mass email that I sent out. Whoops. To our
Where's he work now?
Surprisingly still at BombBomb. Okay. Kyle's a great, great guy. That was one mistake. And he does awesome work, but yeah.
All right. So we got name, we got emotion. What's the D then?
So I got to go through it in my head. So it's team, unexpected, name, emotion, and detail. I don't know why I need to say it in order for me to remember it, but I do.
Getting old, Andy.
But so detail is, this is what we were kind of talking about before a bit. If you're doing outbounding, if you're a BDR or SDR and you need to gain that attention, you could write someone's name on a whiteboard. But if you really did look them up and look up their LinkedIn profile, do a screen recorder with your face on it with their LinkedIn up on the screen. If you can help them with their website, go to that page on their website, on the recipient's website, and have that up on the screen. So when that video hits their inbox and it's, you know, if you're using something like BombBomb, it's already playing, they can see us scrolling down their page on their website. Or what I love to do is teach people just to be interested in other people. And if you looked them up and you saw they wrote an awesome article, they have a great guide, a great download or a piece, bring up, you know, they're proud of the content that they're putting together and what they're writing. Go to that blog post, go to that amazing guide that they're promoting, you know, on LinkedIn and in other places, and have that on your screen. Create that, you know, add that sense of detail that you are paying attention. And if someone sees content that they created, it's like seeing their baby, right? It's like, oh, there's my baby. I'm gonna hit play, because they spent a lot of time creating that blog post, creating that download, creating whatever. So
yeah, well, no, one I saw recently, somebody had done was, and sort of the screen capture in the background was the website of their person's alma mater.
Yes.
And they apparently were using that as sort of their motif as they went through and prospected. And we're claiming great results with it. I don't remember the specifics, but instant personalization.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Which actually, this would be a good segue into the gratitude project.
Okay, because, let's get into it.
Because it's all about detail. And, right. And that's what it is. So I love podcasts. I listen to a bunch of podcasts. And
hopefully this morning, one.
Yes, including. So each morning, I usually listen to a podcast while I'm working out. And, you know, I've been doing this for years. And I thought about it, and I'm like, man, we live in an unprecedented time where I can get the insights from the smartest people on the planet. And we have people like you interviewing the smartest people and their ideologies and what makes them go and their thought process. And this is just so amazing. And I thought about it. I'm like, I haven't thanked any of these people, any of the podcast guests, for coming on and sharing their knowledge and all their expertise. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I wonder how many people truly do reach out to thank these people for their time. And my guess was very little to none. Or if they were reaching out, it was for maybe other reasons, to pitch them something, you know, right off the bat. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to pitch anything. I'm going to send them a video. And these are all people I don't know, of course. Right. I'm going to send them a video, and I'm going to be very clear and specific about what I learned from them and how I'm going to use that content or what it sparked for me and my team. And so I have a Google Doc here that I can bring up, and I can show you all the names, the date, the video that I sent, the title, the podcast that they were on, the notes that I have, and if they responded. And I started doing this on January 10th, so a little bit late into the year, but on January 10th. And I've been doing it 4 to 5 times a week, every week since then, except my vacation week. I did take a week off. And the last time I checked, I was at a 72% response rate, because in the subject line of the email, I talked about them. And I would try to pick out something specific about that episode. And then in the body of the email, I just one or two sentences, like really quick, telling them to watch the video because of something very specific I learned in each episode. And then I would use the whiteboard. And I told you, for the CMO of Salesforce, I drew the Kodak camera. Mm-hmm. And so I did all sorts of different things with the whiteboard. It takes you 30 seconds to come up with something, or like my favorite quote. If you say something back, someone said something, you say it back to them, it is all about them. It's triggering them to mm-hmm. be curious to see what you have to say. And so I send it out. I've been sending out these videos, and I'm getting an amazing response. And I was thinking about other people, can you, if you sell, I gave this example to a Primo, a company, they're customers of BombBomb as well. And they sell some, they sell a product that's $300,000,
right?
$200,000, 400. And so they have a list of 250 people. Do they have the time to sit down and look at their recipients and see what they're doing? And if they're on a podcast, which chances are the people they're going after are out there somewhere sharing information, and then send it out just to start that relationship. If that relationship can start off of, thank you so much. The responses I've been getting, like people curse that. I've had one, I sent it out to Christopher Lockhead.
Yeah.
And his response was, holy shit, Steve. And sorry.
That's okay. Yeah,
that was the response. Right. He was like, this is the most epic message I've ever received about my podcast. And so I made an impression on him. And I wasn't trying to sell him BombBomb to do it. But now do we have a relationship that maybe if I was trying to prospect and sell him that mm-hmm. I could then take the next small step? People try to leap the Grand Canyon and right. send out these emails to like, you ready to buy? You ready to buy? No, no, and no. Be interested about me. Care about me. And if,
let's
and
just
if
connect.
I care about them, they'll reciprocate.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start there. Just connect.
Just connect.
Yeah.
Make it real.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we ran out of time, but it's always fantastic to talk with you. Look forward to doing it again before too long.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate all the conversations.
Well, good. Well, we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, folks. Thanks for listening. We're so grateful for your support for the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to this podcast, Sales Enablement with Andy Paul, on iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. You can do that all on your phone in less than a minute as soon as this podcast is over. Thank you so much. Until next time, I'm your host, Andy Paul. Good selling, everyone.
Hey, sales strategists. At Revenue.io, we're not just imagining the future of sales. We're building it. We offer the world's most complete platform for revenue teams, and we're featured in the most recent Forrester Waves for both sales engagement and conversation intelligence. With Revenue.io, you can slash call prep time to seconds, guide your reps in real time to have more successful conversations, and after calls, we generate ready-to-send recap emails so sellers can keep deals soaring toward the finish line at light speed. See the future of sales now at Revenue.io.